The second thing was, big fear that I really had and hold on to it for quite a long time was, English is my second language. Who is going to take me seriously? I've got strong accent. Like, how am I going to do online videos, like on social media? Who is going to understand me? And so on. So I had to work through a lot of crap. And I think, it's not just about like starting a business. You've been in business for 35 years, so you know very well. Each time we level up, some new fears come up. And for those who never ran a business, they won't understand. It just the employee mindset cannot take it because they just cannot understand. Like I spoke with a friend of mine the other day, and I told him, like, first time I made my 10K month, I lost it in a few months because I started to sabotage the success, so to speak, because truly inside of me, I didn't believe I can deserve to make so much money in such a young age, right? And he was like, "How? What do you mean? Why would you sabotage that?" I'm like, "Well, that's how you work. You've got to continuously work with your mindset."
Hey, welcome back to the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast, where we talk about what it takes to go the distance in running and in life. I'm your host, Eric Dieter. I'm an ultramarathon runner and a mindset coach. When trail runners get together to run a few miles, we never know where the conversation is going to go. So if you're ready, let's get started. I have a special guest with me this week, Iveta Zaklasnikova is a digital nomad. And this conversation is going to be a little bit different because Iveta is not an ultramarathon runner. She is, however, a mindset coach. And when she was 16 years old, she decided she didn't want to end up doing what everybody else did and working 30 years or so at a job that slowly drained her life's energy. You know, I always say that the ultramarathon mindset is about more than just running. Iveta is took that mindset, took that decision at age 16, and she kept moving forward and created the life that she has now. She travels the world and runs her coaching business online, working from all kinds of exotic locations. I caught up to her while she was in her home country of the Czech Republic. Hope you enjoy listening to my conversation with Iveta Zaklasnikova.
You and I met, I think, on Facebook, and I know that you have an interesting story to tell, and you've done some running in the past. I know you'd say you're not presently a runner, and I think what I'd like to do is have a conversation around kind of the mindset that you have used to get where you're at, because what I say on my podcast is the ultramarathon mindset is about, it's for life. It's not just for running. And so the things that you have done, if runners apply your mindset, they can have success in whatever they want. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Eric. Thank you.
So give kind of an introduction, tell who you are. And I just kind of want to give you the freedom to kind of just tell your story of how you got to where you're at.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I can ramble for ages, so please stop me if I will talk for
I definitely have no problem interrupting my guests.
All right. So my name is Iveta. I'm originally from the Czech Republic, which is a little small country in the middle of Europe next to Germany. I've been running my business for 5 years. I'm a business and sales consultant for health coaches and therapists. I help them to get clients and I teach them how to close sales. I work a lot, not just around strategy, but as well as mindset and energy with my clients, because it's absolutely crucial. So same for you, what you are doing on this podcast, like all those listeners, they know it's not just about practicing and running every second day and eating the right food, but it's the mindset is a huge, 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 huge component also in business. I'm pretty much, I would say, a global citizen. I lived in 13 different countries as an expat and digital nomad, from United States to France, all the way to Australia, Thailand, you name it. Right now, talking to you, I'm in the Czech Republic. COVID sort of paused me for a while, I would say, in my travels. And that's me in a Very quick nutshell.
Okay. So how was it? And you're, I think you had a job as well, but what was it that, that kind of pushed you into being a, you know, what you call a digital nomad? You know, what was it that in your life that you kind of made that decision of going like, I'm going to go my own way and, you know, kind of make my own success?
Yeah. Great question. I mean, I think it really all started what I shared on social media the other day, the little story when I was around 16 and I went for a summer job at the factory where my mom has been working for 32 years. Well, now 32 years, but back then it was like 15 years she was in that job. And it's a factory. They produce beds, like sleeping beds, like it's the biggest, one of the biggest production actually in Middle Europe. And I remember very clearly when I had that summer job for 2-3 months, I literally had to show up every day 10 to 6, start at 6 a.m., have a break at 11 a.m. for 15 minutes, like a snack break, then lunch. And everything was very, you know, it was a huge routine and it was boring. And I could feel from all those women how they've been there for years and it's the same thing over and over and over. And it's nothing wrong with that. Some people love that, right? Or some people enjoy that job. But I knew in that moment that I have to do something with my life. So my high school, actually in Europe, we have already at high school, which is from 15 to 19, we've got already some subjects to choose. Most people choose some subjects. So I chose business. Then I had studied master's in business and economics. And I started my jobs in sales and marketing in different positions in London and in Berlin, where I lived before, and in the Czech Republic as well. But in 2017, I was really, really sick and tired of my life. Like I was changing jobs. I wasn't happy. I was really tired of telling me someone what to do. Not how to do it, that's fine, but what to do and when to do it and where to do it. And London was okay. It was good experience, but I knew I want to travel the world. Like my ex-boyfriend, he's Australian and we lived in London together and we wanted to travel and go to see his family around Australia and see Southeast Asia. And I just knew I cannot be here forever in London. Like I need to have my own thing, which is going to be online. And I was really, really already around 8 years ago, I was really into coaching. Like I had multiple coaches. I worked on myself in my personal life, in career and so on. But I knew that I want to become a coach eventually. So I pulled the trigger in 2017. I was really at, I would say, like one of the lowest moments in my life. But I said, you know what, I'm sick and tired of my life. I want to do something. So I enrolled on one of the best coaching schools in London. And I didn't know how I'm going to pay that. I didn't have a job back then. Yeah, I lost my job and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to do it. Like, I don't know how, but I just trust. It was probably the first time I really started to trust that, you know, things will work out if I really, really want something and I will put all my effort, attention into that. It's going to work out eventually. And it did. I started studying coaching, then I started my coaching business, and then the rest is history. We left London and traveled around Asia and Australia for a year and a half before the pandemic hit. Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. And so you pretty much were not very far out of your schooling before you, or well, very far into a what traditional career in sales. When you made that decision. So, what were the kind of things that you went through to kind of get to that? Did you have some things that you were working through that kind of, you know, the fears of like, because you know, a lot of people are, you know, get into that situation at some point in their lives. Oftentimes it's even later in life and you've got more baggage, or not baggage, but you know, more, commitments, more responsibilities, and oftentimes people get to that place, and then it's like the risk feels too big. So what's kind of the things that you went through to look at that risk and make that decision?
Yeah, that's a good question, and you know what, like I don't have children, so I was in a really good position that I didn't have responsibility for anyone else but me. And but there were so many challenges. Like when I started this business, I was 27, you know, and I had a lot of crap in my head, you know, such as I'm too young to start a business, who will trust me, who would believe me, and all these things. But, you know, I proved to myself I know what I'm doing, because in my previous job, I sold over $1 million worth of sales coaching packages for my boss in a span of 12 months. So I knew, like, I'm good at it. But, you know, but to get over that fear, it was huge. The second thing was, you know, big fear that I really had and hold on to it for quite a long time was, you know, English is my second language. Who is going to take me seriously? I've got strong accent. Like, how am I going to do online videos, like on social media? Who's going to understand me? And so on. So I had to work through a lot of crap. And I think, you know, it's not just about like starting a business. You've been in business for 35 years, so you know very well. Each time we level up, some new fears come up. And for those who never ran a business, they won't understand. It's just the employee mindset cannot take it, because they just cannot understand. Like I spoke with a friend of mine the other day, and I told him, like, first time I made my 10K month, I lost it in a few months because I started to sabotage the success, so to speak, because truly inside of me, I didn't believe I can deserve to make so much money in such a young age, right? Mm-hmm. And he was like, "How? What do you mean? Why would you sabotage that?" I'm like, "Well, that's how you work. You've got to continuously work with your mindset."
Yeah, that's a very common thing. I mean, you have an image of who you are, and mm-hmm. and that identity. This is who I am, and if you try to change that to make it better, your image will actually bring your success back down to what you believe about yourself.
Exactly. And I'm sure it's the same that you see with your clients and you know, listeners of this podcast. I'm sure that they can relate to it to some degree, because you've got some goals. And I believe, like, you reach the goal, but if you want something bigger, then you start to doubt yourself, like, can I actually do this? Am I, you know, maybe am I too old for this? Or, you know, what if my knee doesn't, you know, listen to me again? Or, you know?
Yes. And that's, well, and so there's kind of two things. I mean, you talked about having the success and then bringing it back. For a lot of people, they will look at something and say, I can't do that. I mean, like the same things that you said about your age, being young, you know, that feels like a disadvantage. I mean, I was talking to another podcaster, and she's in coaching, and she made the comment, "I'm only 23," and I went, "Don't say only. Don't." I mean, if you say only, you diminish yourself, and. And it's just the way you look at it. I said, you know, you don't have all the baggage of, you know, the way things used to be. You know, you've got fresh ideas. I mean, there's a lot of advantages to having, you know, to being young and having that perspective, And
totally.
I was going to say, and the opposite end, there's a lot of people say, well, I'm too old. And
exactly.
You know, I know a lot of people who get into their late 50s and stop. I mean, you can see just by talking to them, they have stopped living. They have mm-hmm. nothing else to look forward mm-hmm. to. And mm-hmm. To me, that's sad, because it's a prime time to go and do, you know, epic stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I see that also in the business, because I've been, you know, working with people from, I don't know, 22 all the way to 65, 70. And it's exactly the thing. The younger, you know, people, they say, well, I'm too young. Like, I don't really feel 100% confident in this. And those, I remember years ago, I worked with a lady, she was around 55, and she was saying, like, I feel I'm too old to actually be on social media and showing up live and doing all these things. And it's not incredible. It's actually very natural, because we live from our experiences, and our experiences, thanks to experiences, we create stories, and we play those stories over and over, and we start to believe them, right? Which, you know, that's the life journey, right? To uncovering those stories that are limiting us and actually working through them.
Yeah. So what kind of, I mean, you had the story that, that you wanted to be in business, mm-hmm. and you had some of those other limiting beliefs. What was the thing that got you to where you are now? I mean, and where you're going?
Yeah, a lot of work on myself, like not just in terms of, you know, continuously developing my skills in marketing and selling and really making sure that, you know, I'm on top of the things because, social media, they keep changing every second day. Mm-hmm. But mainly the personal stuff, meaning, you know, like if I take it from the mindset perspective, not every day, but almost every day, I sit down in a cafe, I order a cappuccino and I take, you know, my journal and I work through fears that come up. I work with my mindset, with my energy, meaning I write down what I'm grateful for, I work with my, you know, with my alter ego, with my higher identity every single day, meaning I see myself where I want to be, let's say 5 years from now, and I work from that place. So I'm telling myself what I'm grateful for that has already happened. It hasn't happened in this reality, but in my mind, it has already happened and I'm grateful for that. So I'm working on my energy like big time. I think, you know, this, and if I wasn't, I wouldn't have this business, you know, because first couple of years, it was a huge change going from employee mindset to entrepreneur, solopreneur, in fact, you know, traveling around the world, which sounds fantastic. And it was fantastic, but that's a double challenge, because if you are changing countries every few months, you know, you need visa, you need vaccinations, you need accommodation, you need all. So that's a part-time job just to travel around, for example, Asia. That's a part-time job. So definitely the mindset work really, really helped me to get where I am. And obviously also learning from those who are further ahead of me. You know, I'm always looking for next coach, next mentor that I can learn from, whether it's from the mindset perspective or business perspective. But I invest into myself constantly, all the time.
Mm-hmm. You talk about looking at the future and living from there. I know that there will be some people who will say, "Oh, that's just kind of new age woo-woo." that really doesn't make any difference. What has been your experience in your coaching with for people who have that resistance? And, to looking at, you know, to that kind of, you know, esoteric.
Yeah, you can say esoteric.
Yeah. Even kind of borderline spirituality. I mean, what have been the things that you've seen in that area? Because there are a lot of practical people who, I mean, we're trained that, you know, it's just the facts, you know, this reality, those types of things that you can't really measure with scientifically,
of course,
you know, don't count.
Gotcha. Well, they can to some degree measure scientifically. If we look at quantum physics, there is, you know, I'm working, you know, I'm using my energy and the mindset work, if you like, from that perspective. But to answer your question, you know, I completely understand what you mean by, you know, esoteric and woo-woo stuff and spiritual stuff. Because, you know, my journey to this world, if you like, was, I was very resistant to that, very, very resistant. You know, in first year and a half in my business, things were going okay. We already traveled with my ex-boyfriend, but I wasn't where I wanted to be. And I couldn't understand why. And my best friend, she kept telling me that you have to work from the place of being, not doing. You're constantly doing, but it's about being who you are. And I couldn't hear her. I couldn't understand what she's talking about. And then one day I met this mentor and he started to talk about it. And I thought, you know what, let me give it a go. I don't have anything to lose. You know, I will give it a 3 weeks, month. I will work with my energy. I will say exactly what, you know, the person says, and I will see what happened. And that was the first time I hit my 10K month. And I was shocked. You know, I couldn't believe that. I was like, what the heck? This energy works actually work. And since that time, I started to really, you know, dive deep into quantum physics and learning as much as I can from that, you know, from that perspective. And some people can say, yeah, law of attraction, quantum physics. We can have a look what we discussed last time, right? Bible, that's a beautiful example, right? Like, I'm not Christian, but I you know, read Christian books because it makes complete sense to me. You know, that's the energy. That's, we can call that God. I call it universe. It doesn't matter how we call it. But that thing works. And if somebody, you know, is resistant to that, even my clients, you know, when they come to me, they know that I work with energy, but they don't know how much. And when they enter my programs, always they say the same thing. Everyone says the same. The program is amazing, but the energy work was just transformational. Because it is, you know, once you experience that yourself, it's incredible. I can give you two examples. So obviously I work with entrepreneurs. Last year I had on my 7-week program a lady, health coach, doula, and she joined the program. She made $2,000 a month, right? That was her average $1,000-$2,000 a month. She joined the program and she started to applying the energy work that I taught her. I taught her as well how to sell, how to close sales, and she made $10,000, right? And for the logical mind, right, like for what we are used to, it sounds like what the heck is going on. But from the energy perspective, it's very logical. If we are working from the place where we want to be, we start to making decisions differently. We have different energy. We perceive ourselves differently. We show up differently on sales calls, and everything changes. Right. So it's actually very, very logical. But that's one example. Second example, in that cohort last year, I had a lady who she came to me, I think, on week 5 or 6, and she said, and she wasn't into this like law of attraction manifestation whatsoever, but she came to me and she sent me a private message saying, Yvette, I won't be on our weekly call. My cancer came back. And I said, you know what? I told her, look, Patricia, like if you want, what just came through me, because it was a group program. I said, what time is your, you know, appointment with the doctor? And she said, this day I have a check-in with my doctor again. You know, it's 90% it's the skin cancer again and so on. And I said, would you like me to hold a 5 minutes, you know, energy session with the group of people in the group? Or would you, you know, and she said, yeah, I'm not going to be present, but I would love that. So we did it. I show up on the call and I said to guys, I was like, hey, not everybody remembers Patricia, but she's got some health problems. And I want you to imagine that she's going on that day and at that time to the doctor. And doctor is telling her that she's cancer free. It's all good. So we held the energy for literally a few minutes. And Patricia sent me a message that she went to doctor. And the doctor was almost pissed off because the cancer was gone. No, I'm not joking. She literally said the doctor was almost looked pissed off. That like, what's going on? It's all gone. And I'm not saying that it's because we held 5 minutes energy work for her, but she learned how to work with her mindset. And she applied it not just in her business, but in this case, in her health as well. And that's, you know, when she shared it with me, it was actually, you know, it was on live interview that I did last year with her. And I was almost crying because I was like, wow, this is, you know, it's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been in some situations like that. Of course, I mean, from a Christian perspective, you know, that's churches do that all over, you know, so-and-so yeah. has. But the thing that I have seen in that is that a lot of Christians don't actually believe that it works. Mm-hmm. And so it's, that is a whole area I could go off on, but it is, I mean, it's a similar thing of, that there's a group dynamic in that. I saw, and I never can remember the guys. He wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Cartfield or something. Something like that.
Jack Canfield.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I read his book, but I was in a group setting, and he brought somebody up to the front, and it was a strength test. So, you know, he held her arm out. He said, hold your arm out and resist me pushing your arm down. And so she had a pretty good, you know, resistance. And he said to the group, he says, I want you to, you know, to the audience. And there were like 1,000 people there. He says, I want you to find something that you can think negative about this person. And he says, you don't have to say it, so we generated this negative thought, and the resistance that she had was less than half. I mean, she could just hardly hold her arm up at all. And then he says, mm-hmm. Okay, I want you to take that around. And he says, find something positive. I want you to send her, we didn't say anything. It was just positive thoughts. And she was stronger than she was even before, in being pushed that down. So there's a real, very, very real power in our own thoughts, but as well as other thoughts.
100%.
Your mindset is your key to success, whether in running or in life. The great thing about mindset is you can decide to change it if it's not working for you. You know, it's not difficult to change your mindset if you have the right tools. But it can be confusing if you're like I used to be and were looking to read every self-help book you can get your hands on and do it on your own. The do-it-yourself approach might get you success, might get you where you want to go eventually. But if you want to get results quickly, as quickly as possible, find a coach. A coach will help you find the quickest path to success for whatever epic goal you've got, whether it's starting a business, writing your book, traveling the world, or running ultramarathons. That was for me my epic thing. Find out if coaching is a good fit for you, wherever you're at, if you want to look at adjusting your mindset for success, and you want to find out if it's a good fit for you to have a coach, I have a free 25-minute mindset reset conversation. Go to ultramindsetpodcast.run. Scroll down to the bottom if you're on your phone, or look in the sidebar on the computer, and you find a calendar there. You can get on my calendar and have a free conversation with me. A 25-minute mindset reset will help you get started with the biggest thing that you feel like is holding you back. That's ultramindsetpodcast.run. Click on the link, and I'll be glad to help you get started.
So just, and now that I brought that up, do you have any for people who, oftentimes your family and your friends are the ones who will tell you, you shouldn't go after this thing.
So you mean this energy work stuff?
But just in, whatever, when somebody just said, like, the people that you work with have say, I want to start a coaching business, or I want to become an entrepreneur. Oftentimes the greatest resistance you're going to have is from family saying, no, you should take the safe, secure place. And then, your counselors in school, go get a good job, work in the factory for 15 years or the rest of your life. So, what are some of the things that, for those who, you not only have your own inner ideas, but other people, how do you go about getting that, dealing with those negative things that other people put on you?
Yeah, that's a great question, Eric. And I think, I wouldn't say it's negative. I think that, people give you advice or give us advice because they love us, right?
Yes, like, it comes across as being a barrier.
Yeah.
Because they're doing it there's a lot of dynamics, but it is a care for, they don't want you to get hurt. They don't want you to be disappointed.
Absolutely.
And, they want you to be safe.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I would say also, it's also because they don't know anything else. For them, it seems too risky. And it is, like, running a business is definitely, it's not easy. But, the truth is, can you live with yourself knowing that what you do is not what you want to do? I couldn't. I think that there are two kind of people. There are those people who do their job. They don't love it, but it's okay. Right. And they just keep doing that. They have the paycheck and they're happy. And there is second group of people. Well, there's three. Second group is those that hate it and they complain about it and they don't do anything about it. Right?
Yes.
But the third group are those who just know that they are here right now and they want to do something different and they want to enjoy this freaking life. And it's me, I would never give up. I knew, even if this business is not going to be the thing that I want to do, I will change, I will tweak, and I will find what fulfills me, because it's really important to me, you know. And having freedom in my life is super important. It's one of my highest values. And I just knew having a job is not for me. And all those negative thoughts and you know, advice from parents, friends, you name it. Of course, it was difficult. Like, I can't even remember now, but yeah, it was really difficult. Like, you know, when I started my business, my parents didn't know, what am I doing? Why am I doing that? You know, and I had a great job back then, you know, in London. I was making tons of money. Why would you do that? This is too risky. But I just knew. I was so, I don't want to say goal-oriented, but I had a very clear intention where I want to be and what I want to do. And nothing could stop me. I won't lie to you. It took longer than I thought, you know, to make my business up and running and be in a position where I feel like, okay, now it's all right. I can hire team members and so on. It took longer than I thought it's going to take, but I wouldn't change it. You know, it's, you know, like for those who are listening and, you know, they have a big, you know, whether it's starting a business or going for, you know, something big that they want to do, but they feel like, oh my God, everyone is saying that I'm crazy. You know what? Listen to your intuition. Like, it's your life, simple as that. And also, what's the worst thing that can happen? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like when I didn't have money for my coaching and I started my business and so on, I thought to myself, well, what's the worst thing that can happen? What? Like, I will just find a job. That's it. And I can go on and start another business. That's okay. Until I get there.
Right? Yeah. But what about those people who don't know what they want? I mean, there's people who is like, yeah, my life is miserable. I don't like this, but I don't know what anything different. I'd like something different, but I don't know what.
Yeah, it's a good question. You know what? It depends. Again, some people just say that over and over and over, but they are in a victim mentality, meaning they complain, I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough energy for this. I need to take care of my kids. I have to, you know, I've got two jobs, yada, yada, yada. And people, what I've observed is that people don't take responsibility for what they have created in their life. Most people, I would say. And I was the same until somebody told me, like, look at your bank account, you've created it. Look at the relationship you've got, you've created it. You are making choices every single day. It's your responsibility. And it was such a harsh slap when the person told me, because I was like, oh my God, he's right. It's everything I've got in my life. This is what I've created. So first thing I would look into, you know, are you working from place of victim? Are you saying, if I had more of time, energy, money, then I would do something different? And if so, if you really want to create a change, you've got to work from that place of, okay, who do I have to be, first of all, and what am I committing to, right? So if I, you know, if you know that you don't know what you want, okay, who do I need to be? Maybe I need to be more committed. How does it look like? What is it that I need to do? Maybe you need help. Maybe find a coach or therapist, someone who helps you to go through this, you know, because finding your purpose, if you like, or what you want to do, it takes time. And I was, you know, I didn't start this business just like that. You know, I had my first business in London. It didn't feel right. You know, then I took jobs and I was still searching, constantly searching for the thing that I want to do. And it took, you know, it took a few years to get to that point. But I search for help as well. You know, I think that a lot of people, they're afraid, you know, to talk about this stuff, like, what is it that I want to do? And they're afraid to reach out for help. And there's nothing wrong to actually, you know, bounce the ideas from third person, meaning not from your friends and family. Right? That's the, like, no. But someone who doesn't know you, who literally gives you the fresh perspective. And that's why coaching is so powerful. You know, there's tons of life coaches who are helping with purpose. So, you know, just go online and search for one or get in touch with me. I will recommend you a few people who work in this field.
Yes. And that's the thing about a coach is that you can't see what, I mean, if you're trying to do something on your own, you can't see how you're doing it. And so
exactly.
Any coach who can give you a perspective of what you're doing is a super helpful. I mean, the tools that they offer to help you do it, but just the outside perspective is such a big deal.
Absolutely. And you know, that's why I fell in love with coaching, because once I, as a client, once I developed a relationship with my coach, meaning, you know, the coach got to know me over a period of some time, he and she, I had multiple coaches in my life and still have, they pick up on stuff that I cannot see, you know, the fresh perspective and having someone who can see the, you know, the fresh pair of eyes, basically, who can see the BS that we cannot see. And it's the same, like, think about athletes, right? Athletes have coaches, you know, like Usain Bolt never said, you know what, I will just start running and I will do it on my own and so on. No, I bet he's got a team of people who are working with him, and one of them is going to be freaking really good mindset coach, someone who actually can, you know, help him to overcome those obstacles. And it's the same in business. It's exactly the same in business. Like, not, we don't need someone, but I think that, not think, I know the journey is way faster if we've got someone who knows what to do and who can help us to see the BS that we cannot see. And we all got the BS. And it doesn't matter in what level of business or life we are at. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what qualities, someone who's new to that, what qualities should someone look for in a coach if they're going to find a coach? What, you know, kind of what does that process look like?
Yeah. So, I mean, there are, that's a good question. I mean, there are hundreds of thousands of coaches. So coaching industry is you know, it has a lot of stigma. A lot of coaches who are out there are full of
comedians have done the life coaches are easy targets. Yes.
I've met coaches who, you know, did 2 hours course on Udemy, you know, and became coaches, and like, there's a lot of BS, let's be honest. But first of all, like, if I was looking for a coach, I personally would be looking for someone who's got some sort of a good qualification. Very easy way to find a coach is to, it depends what sort of coaching we are talking about, but like, the largest organization in the world that sort of oversees the coaching industry is called ICF, International Coaching Federation. So if someone is a member of that, it tells you that they have done some course, which is good, right? Like, they're not perfect, all the courses there, but that's a good standard. Second thing I would be looking into is obviously results. You want to see the testimonials. You want to see what their past clients have said about them. But the third thing, which I think is the most important one, is how you feel in presence of that coach. Meaning, you know, and it doesn't mean that you have to hop on a discovery call with the person, but even just social media, just see them on videos. Like, do you like them as a person? Do you like their personality? Does it resonate with you? You know, does the person, what they are sharing, resonate with you? The question that they ask, do they give you value? I think that's the most important thing, because I see that in the business. People buy from people they like, and energy is a huge thing. Look, I'm a business sales coach, right? Like, there is thousands of business sales coaches, but why my clients hire me? Because of the energy. Because they see my personality, they see I'm, you know, straightforward, and I work with integrity, and they like who I am as a person. So that's what I would recommend. Like, go and search on any social media or Google. Like, there's so many people that can help you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there are a lot of different programs, I've interviewed coaches and recommended coaches on this podcast. Yeah. That are very similar to what I do, is like, because some people won't click with my personality. and it's like, that's fine. I mean, I'm not trying to please everybody, but I want to find the people who I can help the most. And if I can't, then, you know, somebody else can. And so the biggest thing is, I want to encourage people to get, you know, to keep going. In ultra marathon running, the mantra is keep moving forward. Mm-hmm. That doesn't matter what happens in a race. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, just keep moving forward. That's been my life. You know, I've always, sometimes it's been awfully slow. I'm not making very, very much progress, but I've always had that vision that I'm going to keep moving forward.
Yeah,
and I see so many people stop and, you know, just settle in, and that, and this is as good as it's going to get. And I'm like, no, I mean, and I've been through some times in life when it sucked for a long time, you know, but yeah. It's like, but it's like, no, it's not going to be the way it is forever.
Yeah.
Unless you decide it is, you know, because exactly. if you decide it's going to be this way forever. Yeah. But if you have the mindset, it's like, no, things may be bad, but things are always changing. There's always. And so, yeah, that's the thing that I really look for, is to help people to try to inspire people.
Keep
looking for what's next.
Yeah. I'm wondering, Garrick, if I may ask you, like, what in those difficult situations when you felt like, okay, like I cannot go on and this feels really sucks, like what kept you actually moving? Like what kept you to stay with your mantra, so to speak, just keep going forward, keep moving?
It was my faith. Mm-hmm. My faith was a big part of that. And my family has mm-hmm. always been in that of really not being satisfied with staying where we're at and mm-hmm. And growing. But my faith went through all parts of my life, and so yeah. So there was always this feeling that I had something that I wanted to do, you know, my purpose, and I wasn't fulfilling it. And the things you talked about, the fear, the limiting beliefs, and then I just kept looking for how can I get past these limiting beliefs, and nothing was working, and I kept trying new things. I wasn't going to give up.
Yeah.
And so that's been kind of my mode of operation for most of my life. But yeah, it wasn't easy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And the same kind of thing you talked about. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if it was easy, then, you know, everyone would be super happy and rich and smiley and so on. It's not easy. And like, as you talk about, you know, faith and you were looking for, you know, you were not fulfilling, felt like you were not fulfilling your purpose. What came up for me is this saying of, you know, comfortable zone gets uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's such a, you know, it's so important for me. Like if I feel I'm, you know, getting too comfortable, then I just start to feel like I'm not growing. I'm not, you know, I'm not progressing. If it makes sense, like or next to my in the office, next to my monitor, I've got a, you know, sticker note. Every day, make thing that scares you. You know, one thing that scares you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all constantly pushing outside of that comfort zone. You know, those fears and so on, constantly. Nothing crazy. It can be little thing, but I think it's so important for some people, not for everyone.
Yes. And something came up, the podcast episode that's going to be released this week. We're mm-hmm. recording this, a gal named Katie Spots, and mm-hmm. she was looking at rowing solo across the Atlantic Ocean. And as she was looking at that, it was scary. And she said that the fear of, she knew that if she didn't make the attempt, she would regret it the rest of her life. And the fear of that regret was greater than the fear of doing it.
Yeah.
And as that's kind of been my thing. I don't want to say it's a fear, but I see people who settle, you know, they get to a point and they settle and they say, and they've accepted, this is as good as my life is going to get. And I see the results of that. And I say, I am not going to be that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go and grow until I die. And then I'll keep going beyond that. I mean, I don't want to stop and so
yeah.
And so I look at people who are, you know, in their 80s and their 90s who are going out and still running epic marathon, you know, ultra marathon runners. I'm like, yes, I'm going to be those people.
Yeah. So. Again, and you can choose, right? Like you can choose where you are heading. And you know what, little story I want to share with you that just came to me as you are talking is when I, a couple of years ago, when I flew from Kuala Lumpur from Malaysia to Sydney, I sat on the plane with a guy, and he was around 65 year old, and we started chatting, and he was saying he's a mathematical teacher. You know, he teaches mathematics at a high school in Sydney. And I was like, what did you do in Kuala Lumpur? And he goes, I went to, you know, do my teeth. And I was like, oh, why? He's like, well, it's way cheaper than in Sydney. So I just fly a couple of months, you know, to Kuala Lumpur, and I have it done, and it's perfect, and so on. And he asked me, what is it that you do? I'm like, well, I'm digital nomad and travel the world and I run my business and so on. And he's like, you know what, when I was in 20s, I was, you know, finishing my university and I really wanted to travel the world. And then I had my wife, my first kid, second child, and then I just, you know, paying the mortgage and so on. And now I'm 65 and I hate traveling because my body is aching. I hate it. And I regretted that I haven't done that in my 20s because now I feel like, you know, my body just cannot keep up with it. And he literally had to like stand up every few hours, you know, from the seat and go for a walk and so on, not because of the teeth, but because mm-hmm. his back hurt as well. And that's what's, you know, as you are saying, I don't want to regret that I haven't done the things that I wanted to do. And I work from the same place. You know, for me, it's like life is so unpredictable. Like I can literally die after this podcast, right? I can go on the street for a coffee and, yeah. and you know, hopefully I won't. But, you know, it can happen. The mm-hmm. possibility is there. And I always wanted to, you know, I always wanted to wake up in the morning and be really proud of what I'm doing and do what I love. And I know that, you know, back to the job situation, I didn't feel fulfillment. I felt like I'm building someone else's dream. And yeah, for me personally, it was so, and it is still so important. So yeah, whether it's working from the pleasure or pain, meaning you want something really very much, or you don't want something to happen, that's okay. That this mm-hmm. is just a different driver towards the goal. But yeah.
Well, sorry, you talk rambling. About you talk about the guy who's 65 and he said that I can't do that now. And yeah. I know a lot of runners, you know, I listen to a lot of runners, and I am in the older, you know, perspective of runners. And I see runners in their 40s who are they're asking the question, when am I going to have to stop being a runner? And because my body will not, you know, I can't, you know, eventually my body is not going to be able to do this. And I've seen it with other people that there is a principle that you get what you expect. Uh-huh. And so the expectation that when I get old, I'm not going to be able to do this is like, that's self that will set you up so that you yeah. won't be able to do that when you get old. And I see people who expect to run all their life. And, you know, a guy that I talked to on the podcast, he has a 40 year run streak. He's run every day for 40 years no and he's way. In his 70s. And he's like, I'm not slowing down at all. He said, this is, and so wow. I look at people like that and say, those who say I have to quit because when I'm old, I'm like, no, this guy has been doing it for 40 years and he's still, and he's coaching a woman. Well, she did it. She was 99 and she was waiting until she turned 100 so she could go after the world record for the 100 yard dash for over 100 years old. And wow. so she did it, made and beat the record. And then she went and did, I think she set a record. She threw the javelin that day too. And I think, I don't remember if she broke the record or not, but she was like 100 years old and she's out there like, I'm going to go for the yeah. world record. And it's that expectation of, you know,
it is and commitment and then, huge yeah. commitment.
And then I also know people who have, you know, they get old and think that their body's going to break down and that happens. They end up, you know, just, and so The mindset is about more than just running. I mean, it's for life. The things that you expect, the things that you set your mind to. I mean, and you talked about that with your group and the sending the energy to
positive
the woman
vibes.
With the positive yeah. vibes for the person with cancer. That there's more that it's not so much of an esoteric woo woo. There is some you may not. Science may not fully understand it, but it does work.
Exactly. And you know what? It's the same like you know, if I switch on and switch off the light in this phone booth, I don't know how electricity works. I don't, honestly. Like, I've got a business degree, I have a business background, but it doesn't matter. I know it works. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's the same with this energy work or law of attraction, quantum physics. I just know it works. You know, it's about knowing and trusting. Okay, if I press the switch, it actually, the light is going to turn on. So, yeah. And respect to that guy's 40 years, to that guy, 40 years running every single day. This is what I called commitment.
Yes.
You know, this yes. is, that's incredible. And expectations, yeah, obviously. Like, this can have a, and I see that in the business as well, the what I shared at the beginning, like when I journal and when I am grateful for the things that haven't, they physically hasn't happened in this reality, but in my mind, I'm already grateful for them to be happening. So again, is the expectations, like what is it that I'm after? And I'm already grateful that it has happened, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I appreciate you taking time. How can people get in touch with you if they want to touch base and see what you're about? Where can they find you?
Absolutely. It's my first name and last name.com. That's the easy way, right? So IvetaZaklasníková.com. Guys, do you want me to spell that?
I'll put a link in the show notes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No, but that's the easiest way. And I'm present on LinkedIn and Facebook as well as a little bit on Instagram. So definitely people can get in touch and I would be happy to help in any way I can. I share a lot of stuff related to mindset and business. So for those who are in the business and are listening, I would love to guys get in touch with me. And that's the easiest way to find me.
Okay. Before you go, I have a tradition I've started called the bridge questions. So.
Okay.
Who approaches the bridge of death must answer me these questions three. The other side, he see.
Ask me the questions, Bridgekeeper. I'm not afraid.
As you, in your digital nomad, if somebody is doing that, what is the one tool that they will have? They need to have.
Wow, one tool that's going to be most likely patience. People need to be patient. Because the digital nomad thing, you know, the lifestyle, when you travel and change the countries and you see different cultures and how they operate, it can drive you nuts if you are not being patient, you know, specifically in the countries like, you know, Southeast Asia, things just don't work. And you just need to be patient and just go, okay, even though you told me the taxi is going to be here in 30 minutes, I know it's going to take 2 hours. I just know that you are lying to me, but it's all right. I'm patient. There's definitely one thing. Yeah.
Okay. In your travels, you know, besides taxis being late, what is the strangest thing that you have ever seen in the as you've traveled the world?
Strangest things I have ever seen. You know what? Like, strangest things. I had a really huge cultural shock actually in Bali. Because I don't know, like I saw the Instagram pictures of Bali and I thought like it's going to be this beautiful country, you know, with those beautiful beaches and so on. And I actually had a cultural shock there because first of all, there was the first tropical country I went to, so I couldn't breathe. But the second of all, I was shocked the amount of litter and rubbish I saw on the street. And on the beaches, and you know, they clean the beaches at 5 a.m. in the morning before the tourists wake up. And I just was shocked when I saw that was really, really actually shocking to me. Like, I didn't enjoy actually Bali, which might sound really weird, but to me, yeah. It's like, wow, like it's great. And it is the thing, like, when I travel as a digital nomad, I don't go to resorts, I don't go hang out in nice hotels, I go live where locals are because I want to experience the culture. Mm-hmm. Right, so I sort of like to see the truth, but I think that was a shocking experience, and yeah, that was
that's
weird.
Good to know.
Good to know. Yeah.
Okay. What is one phrase or word that kind of summarizes your philosophy for life?
Always make decisions from the place where you want to be.
That's great. I love that.
That's it. That's it. Like everything, like things can happen so quickly if we are able to see ourselves from the place where we want to be, not working from the place of A, but from B, from the goal. That's my quote.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode and you know somebody who might like it as well, please take just a minute, send them a link so they can listen. And if you enjoy most of the episodes, please tell your friends. That's the best compliment you can give. I truly enjoy being able to spend time here with you each week, and I appreciate that you take the time to listen. If you have any comments, questions, or stories that you'd like to share, go to ultramindsetpodcast.run and you can leave a written or a voice message. You can also find the show notes for this episode and more at the same link, ultramindsetpodcast.run. Remember, it takes an ultramarathon mindset to go the distance in running and in life, and a strong mindset is a skill you can learn. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.